Good morning and welcome to our Friday morning chapel. We'll begin our worship today with the prayer for Friday morning. You'll find that in the front part of the hymn book on page 170. So please join me there and let us join our hearts and voices together in the prayer for Friday morning. Abba, my dear Father, help me this morning and always that I may worship you in spirit and truth, and desire nothing but that which is in accord with your will. Enlighten me with your Holy Spirit, and cleanse my conscience from all dead works, that today and evermore I may serve you in faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, and in love to him, for you have given and bestowed upon me your beloved Son, who has made to me wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Grant also that I may not resist your grace and turn your great gift from me, but that I may receive your Son in my heart and not live to myself, but to him who was delivered for my sins and was raised again for my justification. Lord, this shall be my glory and my joy, to draw from you as the true fountain for grace, strength and blessing unto every good work. Do not leave me nor forsake me. Amen. Scripture reading for our meditation today is taken from St. Paul's first letter to Timothy and chapter 6, beginning with verse 6. Now godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But you, O man of God, flee these things and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would strengthen our faith through them. Amen. A few of you maybe have heard me tell this story before. When I was a child growing up here in Mankato, my dad taught here at Bethany, frequently in the mail at our house we would get coupon books from McDonald's and KFC. And these special coupons we got would allow us to go eat free at McDonald's and Kentucky Fried Chicken once in a while. So as you can imagine, as a kid, I thought that was pretty neat. And I found out that my dad had joined an investment club, a small club that had started here at Bethany at the time, where people would get together and invest in the stock market. And these were two of the companies they had invested in, which were on the rise at the time, and things were doing quite well. And then all of a sudden, we didn't get the coupon books anymore, and I didn't even think about it. But when I was finally in my 20s, I was talking to my dad again, and I said, whatever happened to that you were buying stock in that, you know, and everything, and all of a sudden we didn't get these coupon books anymore. And he said, well, it was doing very well. The stock was selling pretty well, and it was kept going up and up. And he said, I found that I would come over to work here at Bethany 10 minutes early every day and go to the library and grab the Wall Street Journal and just check to see how my stocks were doing. And he said, I started to realize it was taking over my life. It's taken over my heart, and that's why I sold it, and I wanted a Big Mac. So, St. Paul is writing a warning here to this young pastor, Timothy, and for all the church as well, about people who have even gone so far as to stray from the faith that they once possessed. Now, think of this. These are people that are living in the first century A.D., some of them had possibly witnessed miracles, either by Christ or the apostles. They probably had at least spoken to some eyewitnesses of the resurrection of Christ. And yet, how easy it was for them already to start straying away from this wonderful faith. And it shows the power of the things of this world in our lives and on our hearts. How easy it is for greed to start to creep in and take over things in our spiritual lives. And don't ever imagine that just because you grow up in a nice Christian family, or maybe because you're pursuing the office of the public ministry, or maybe because you teach at a or work at a Christian college, don't imagine that somehow you are immune to these types of temptations. When I was a young pastor down in Florida, they would have oftentimes meetings for pastors, and they're once in a while, maybe every few years, they do something on life in the parsonage. So your wife would be allowed to come along. And one day we had one of these meetings about life in the parsonage, and I remember thinking, man, every pastor and every wife is here. Everybody from our circuit is here who could be here. And I mentioned this to the pastor who came down to put on a little talk for us. And he said, well, today we're talking about money and retirement. I always get 100% attendance, he said. That says something about even those of us who are in the ministry. This can happen kind of quickly to us and in subtle ways, how this starts to creep into our hearts. It can be just little attitude changes about what's important to us and where we start putting our priority. And I know for myself, the greatest temptation that I face is kind of a dual goal in life. To imagine that somehow I can still have heaven in front of me, but before that, to pursue some earthly riches or things of this life, and making both kind of feel like my treasure, as if they're on the same path somehow. But that's not the way it works. Jesus warns us that as soon as we make our focus to get something in this life, it starts to diminish our love of heaven and the things that our Savior has done for us. But that, to me, is the biggest temptation. And to think, and I know especially as I was younger, this was even more powerful, but it still is today. Someday I'm going to come back and make Christ and the things of his kingdom really important in my life. But for right now, I've got some other things that I need to pursue. But what does Jesus say? Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, this is a struggle for all Christians. And that's why St. Paul couches his wording in using words that have to do with a fight. Fight the good fight of faith. You who are young right now, you are taking time to get educated, to go off and hopefully have a wonderful vocation, to help support your family. That's a wonderful thing. That's great. But do not lose perspective on the true eternal riches that your Savior has come to win for you, and that he wants you to keep as number one in your heart and in your life. And this is, I think, especially a challenge for us here in America. I'm going to use an illustration to maybe demonstrate that. Imagine a 13-year-old boy who lives in a very wealthy neighborhood outside of Minneapolis, out in Minnetonka, let's say. Beautiful homes around, million-dollar home, multi-million-dollar homes. But the homes around his are even wealthier. And he has a swimming pool in his backyard, but the homes around him have even larger swimming pools. And imagine him one day at class, at school, complaining to some of his fellow 13-year-old students who come from homes where some of them actually live on welfare. Imagine him complaining to them about the fact that his pool is so small. How do you think that would be received by them? Now, that's what Americans sound like to the rest of the world when we talk about how hard our times are right now that we're facing economically. We are so saturated with wealth in our country. We have so much wealth around us. We've gotten used to it, and all we want to do is think about what more we could have. When 90% of the world looks at us and thinks, wow, are they blessed? That just shows the power of this temptation on my heart and yours as well. One reason that our Lord warns us over and over about this, one pastor who studied issues of stewardship and money said that if you look at the words of Jesus, 1/3 of them deal with this issue. That shows how strong a temptation is. One of the reasons God warns us about this is because this world's wealth will always end up leaving you empty. There's an old saying, it goes like this: a golden mattress does you no good when you are on your deathbed. That kind of sums it up, doesn't it? Listen to what Martin Luther wrote. He said, "It is impossible to keep the devil from shooting evil thoughts and lusts into your heart about covetousness. But see to it that you do not let such arrows stick there and take root, but tear them out and throw them away." God does not want you to miss out on the wonderful, amazing home that he has prepared for you through the work of his Son, where real contentment, lasting, full contentment can be found. And whenever God speaks to us in his word about that goal, he always couches it in words that have to do with the things we might imagine to be so great in this life. A mansion waiting for us, a beautiful feast, a beautiful wedding banquet, a wonderful marriage, a beautiful pearl of great price. This heaven that God has come to give you and me is extremely costly, the most costly real estate that there is, because it's been purchased with the blood of God's own Son. Your Lord Jesus Christ did not come into this world to make your life here better, although he may give you wonderful blessings. But he came down here to get you out of this life and out of your grave so that someday you could know what real riches are and real lasting contentment is. And right now, by faith in that Savior, you possess and hold on to the very title to the real estate of heaven that he has won for you. So let that knowledge of what Christ has done allow you to look at even the little things you have in life with eyes of gratitude and with a mind of gratefulness for the blessings that we get to enjoy in this world. Martin Luther also said this about being content in life. I love this. He said, "There are many people whose heart God can fill so that they may have only a morsel of bread and yet are cheerful and more content than any prince or king." So lay hold on eternal life. That means grab it tightly, to which you were also called and have confessed the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. About 47 years ago, around the time I was on this campus as a student, there was a woman named Sandra West, and she had a beautiful powder blue Ferrari sports car. And she decided that when she died, she wanted them to dress her in a nightgown and have her seated in the sports car when it got buried. And so sure enough, they did it, 9 feet deep into the ground. So if you're going to live for the things that you can get in this world and hope to find contentment in them, make that your goal, okay? Because that's about the best you're going to get in this world. Your Savior has come to give you something so much greater, so much more wonderful. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Amen. May the triune God who has claimed you in your baptism, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve you. Go in his peace. Amen.